Welcome to CenterPod Podcast. This is the AI voice narration of How a Nuclear Stalemate Left Radioactive Waste Stranded on a California Beach. Nuclear waste is all dressed up with nowhere to go. By August 28, 2018, 10:02 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Photography by Willpour, video by Corey Zapatka, graphics by Alex Parkin. When I got to the San Onofre State Beach about 60 miles north of San Diego, the red sun of fire season was sandwiched on the horizon between a layer of fog and the sea. Surfers floated in a line off the shore. It looked like any other California beach, except for the row of signs that warned nuclear power plant exclusion area, and the twin reactor domes rising above the bluffs. I was there to see the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, a shuttered nuclear power plant right next to the Pacific Ocean. It once supplied electricity to Southern California, but was permanently shut down in 2013. It's now scheduled to be dismantled, but even when that happens, more than 1,700 tons of spent nuclear fuel will remain, interred in enormous concrete casts behind a seawall. There's nowhere else to put it. On the beach, perspectives on the plant ranged from resignation to frustration. "It's part of the landscape now," said one man walking his dog. A woman who was roasting marshmallows in the sand with her family said it's eerie to see the plant when she's out surfing. You turn around and take a wave, and you just see these nuclear boobs staring out at you. Her husband wondered what will happen with the spent nuclear fuel now that the plant is no longer operating. "No citizen wants it here permanently, but nobody wants to take it," he said. "So we're just in a really hard spot. What are you supposed to do with it?" It's a question that nuclear power plants around the country are reckoning with as low natural gas prices, costly repairs, and political pressure have driven a half dozen reactors to retire early since 2013, according to the Department of Energy. More are slated to shut down in the next 10 years, including Diablo Canyon, California's last nuclear power plant, Rob Nikolewski reports for the San Diego Union-Tribune. That leaves communities that are no longer benefiting from nuclear power saddled with its waste, cooling off in gigantic pools of water made out of reinforced concrete or steel and concrete containers called dry storage. All those containers of fuel left behind mean that no one can use the land for anything else. And the problem is widespread. Spent fuel from commercial reactors is scattered across roughly 80 sites in 35 different states, according to the Government Accountability Office. "It wasn't supposed to be like this. For decades, the plan has been to bury highly radioactive nuclear waste underground. There were also proposals to bury the waste in the ocean or shoot it into the sun, but those weren't as practical," according to a report by the Blue Ribbon Commission on America's Nuclear Future. "The idea is that a geologic repository would keep the waste away from people as the radioactivity decays, which can take hundreds of thousands of years, depending on the material." In the 1980s, the government settled on Yucca Mountain in Nevada as the most likely spot and planned to start taking shipments of spent nuclear fuel in 1998. In return, the deal was that utilities, really, their customers, would start paying ahead into a fund that would cover the costs. But Nevada politicians like Senator Harry Reid, DNV, hated what became known as the Screw Nevada Bill, and the project has hit delay after delay ever since. Now, utilities like Southern California Edison, which operated San Onofre, are stuck in a holding pattern, guarding the waste, and suing the government for billions of taxpayer dollars to pay for it. The federal government has not fulfilled their obligation to come take the fuel from this plant site, or any commercial plant site, Ron Pontes, team manager of decommissioning environmental strategy at San Onofre, told me. "So, until they do so, the fuel is here and we are charged with taking care of it." Verge Science's video team and I went on a tour of the plant to see what it means to take care of that fuel. First, though, we had to get through security. That meant gearing up with hard hats and safety glasses, signing off that we hadn't had alcohol in past 5 hours, and taking our boots off to go through an airport-style security portal. Then came another stop to have our hands scanned and get buzzed through metal turnstiles and into the protected area. Once staffed by roughly 2,200 people, there are now just a few hundred working on site, including security personnel. And outside on the pavement encircled by metal fences, the place felt empty. Except for the seagulls, the sound of the waves, and the occasional concussive booms from the neighboring U.S. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, it was quiet. Our guide was Pontes, the decommissioning team manager, a white-haired 61-year-old in a blue button-up whose career started on nuclear submarines in the Navy. He led us into a dark, red metal building tangled with pipes and metal tubes, and then into an elevator. There were only four cryptic buttons for the floors labeled 9, 30, 50, and 70, for the number of feet above sea level. We went to 70, the top of the structure housing the massive metal turbines. "Those don't turn anymore, the turbine is just so much iron now," Pontes says. "It serves no purpose." From there, we could look out to see a white buoy floating in the ocean, marking the end of massive tubes that sucked in seawater to cool the plant. The dome of the Unit 3 reactor building towered behind us. Powered up in the 1980s, Units 2 and 3 are mirror images of each other. Unit 1 was dismantled in 2008. Inside those grey concrete domes, uranium atoms split in a chain reaction to produce heat. "That's the business end of this operation," Pontes says. "That's where the heat is generated that is transmitted to the steam generators, makes steam to turn the turbines, which makes electricity for our customers." He used present tense, but the plant hasn't made electricity in years. Not since a steam generator in the Unit 3 dome sprung a leak in 2012. These days, Southern California Edison is preparing to decommission the plant, a $4.4 billion process that's anticipated to take 20 years. First, though, they had to move the bundles of nuclear fuel rods from the reactor cores into Olympic-sized, steel-lined cooling pools. "We didn't get to see them, but Pontes says that the crystal-clear water looks very inviting to swim in." By the middle of 2019, the plan is to shift all of the fuel into steel containers encased in massive concrete blocks. Called dry storage, it's air-cooled so it's lower maintenance than the pools, it's designed to keep the radioactive fuel from overheating without using water, pumps, or electricity. These concrete monoliths are supposed to hold up against floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, even an airplane collision, according to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The dry storage comes in two flavors on the San Onofre site. In one, the canisters stand up vertically in the steel-lined cavities of a massive concrete block. In another, they slide in horizontally, like corpses into a nuclear morgue. "With so few people at the plant, nature was making a comeback. On our way to the dry storage, our security escort had to hang back to call in a swarm of bees that had colonized a piece of equipment." Pontes imagined what the future of the plant will look like when it's finally decommissioned. "At the end of the day, all that's left here is the dry storage facility and the security officers that will be monitoring this facility," he said. "And both could be there for a while. There are a few possible fixes. Two different private companies have applied to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for licenses to construct interim storage facilities in Texas and New Mexico. But the key word there is interim. These sites would be temporary holding areas for fuel that will eventually move to a permanent repository, like Yucca Mountain, the controversial site in Nevada that's about 100 miles northwest of Las Vegas, and across the state line from Death Valley in California. At first, the list of possible long-term repositories for highly radioactive waste was longer than just Yucca Mountain. Hanford in Washington State and Deaf Smith County in Texas also rose to the top, according to a report by the Blue Ribbon Commission on America's Nuclear Future. Plus, there were supposed to be two repositories, so that one state wouldn't be stuck with an entire nation's nuclear waste. And then the idea was you couldn't do this quick and dirty, you'd spend several years and $1 billion at each of those three sites, says Robert Halstead, executive director of Nevada's Agency for Nuclear Projects. But the selection process dragged out, grew expensive, and none of those states were happy about being at the top of that particular list. So in 1987, Congress decided to just pick one site for the DOE to investigate, Yucca Mountain. The DOE put a 5-mile tunnel through the mountain, and did the science, and concluded this is a good place, says Lake Barrett, who headed up the Department of Energy's Office of Civilian Radioactive Waste Management at the time, and is now retired. He called it the most studded piece of real estate on Earth. Nevada objected to the DOE's conclusions, but Congress overrode that veto, and in 2002, Congress and the President gave the DOE their blessing to apply to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or NRC, for a license to start construction. Pretty much as soon as the NRC began officially reviewing the application in 2008, the whole thing started grinding to a halt. By then, Harry Reid, DNV, was the Senate Majority Leader, and he opposed shoving nuclear waste down a community's throat, he said in a statement in 2015. Barack Obama had campaigned on promises to prevent Yucca Mountain from opening, and once he took office, the funding for it dried up.